You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome back to the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, and I'm here with Vance Pittman. Good to see you today, Vance.
Noah, great to be with you again, man. Always enjoy co-hosting the podcast together. And I am super stoked, man, about our guest that we have today.
Me too.
He's one of my favorites. I'll go ahead and kind of let the cat out of the bag. So really, for me, Daniel and I met, I guess, back in like 2016, 2017, something like that. God had done some stuff in our own church around this thing of corporate prayer and praying together. And then God, through his providence, introduced me to Daniel through a buddy of ours, Robbie Simons, up in Toronto, Canada. I got to meet Daniel Henderson, who's our guest today. Daniel is the founder and president of Strategic Renewal. But out of Strategic Renewal, there's a ministry called the 6-4 Fellowship that is an incredible network of churches, several thousand churches across many different denominational lines. That really what brings them together is this passion for prayer and the word. And Daniel began to speak into my life and helped our church with practical handles. And now we're leveraging Daniel's voice to impact thousands of church planters all over North America by teaching how to create a culture of corporate prayer in the local New Testament church. It's kind of mind-boggling that we have to teach that. You'd think that would be a given, but it's where we are today. And so for all those reasons, I'm so excited to have my great friend, my co-laborer, Daniel Henderson, join us on the New Churches Podcast. Daniel, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Vance. Man, that's the best introduction I've had since the time the guy got sick and I had to introduce myself. So thank you, man.
That's great. That's awesome.
You're such a dear friend. Thank you for your kindness.
I love you, man. Love so grateful you. For you.
Well, Daniel, I'm really excited for today's podcast as well, because over the last year, I've been a part of that opportunity, getting to sit under your leadership and your teaching, learning from you, being encouraged and challenged by you. And to be honest, my church is being transformed in a new season through your ministry. So I'm so thankful. So Daniel, I just love, just out of the gate here, for our audience to hear a bit of your story, your confession, your journey, and the vision that God has placed on your heart.
Thank you, Noah. You guys are both so gracious. So my confession, very seriously, and is always consistent. I'm not a natural prayer guy. You know, I often joke, people think I'm going to show up swinging incense, wearing a robe, glowing in the dark, dripping Shekinah juice. That is not me, man. I'm so fiercely independent. And I say that because if God can help me to pray, and certainly lead churches in prayer, he can do that through any pastor and in any life. It's all grace and the goodness of God. So early on, as you probably know, I came across Acts 6:4 and had all kinds of training in the ministry of the word, hermeneutics, homiletics, hermeneutiology, you know them all. Very little in prayer. In fact, my own prayer life really was pretty pitiful. But to lead a church in prayer, I was really empty. I had no idea how to do that. So I asked the Lord to teach me that, and he took me through some really hard chapters of ministry, because desperation is always a key ingredient to a prayer life. And through that, I was able just to really drill into what it means to lead my church. And in three different contexts, three different kinds of churches, two of them on the heels of a scandalous moral failure, and then one of them, a traditional church following a 40-year predecessor. Not easy assignments, but again, God brought transformation through a united movement of prayer. We always think that prayer is therapeutic, and it is, but it's really transformational. And I've seen it in my own life and the lives of thousands of people. So it's really left me with the vision of exactly what you said, Noah, just growing the roots of revival in local churches through pastors. I'm kind of the belief that when revival comes, it'll be ordinary pastors in ordinary places with an extraordinary passion for God. And it'll be such a broad and grassroots movement, we can only attribute it to the work of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus gets the credit.
So good, Daniel. I love your passion for this. I love the contagious atmosphere that you create around this. And I just love your own story and how it's impacted my life. And Daniel, we have literally, there are thousands of church planters that'll be listening to this podcast. Yeah. And I wish I could, I wish I had the supernatural ability to take what's in you and just plant it right now in every one of them, because I do believe it would establish those, what you say, the roots of revival that would lead to the fruits of revival. But if you were going to just try to give and speak to these thousands of planters for just a minute, how do you begin to lead this way with this culture of prayer? What would you say to them?
Well, again, it has to start in their own heart. And, you know, we talk about the various attitudes pastors have. Some pastors are complacent toward prayer, to be honest with you. They just think it's weird or it's hard. Some, you know, cooperate with the prayer fanatics who are part of their church planting team. They feel like, well, I better pray because Joe's going to give me a guilt trip if I don't. And then they get a concern, even a commitment to do some initiatives. But I would say this, Vance, that it really comes down to a conviction that we must be a praying church and I must personally lead us there. You can't subcontract. You can't just treat it like a series of sermons. It's got to be birthed in your own heart that if we are not a praying church, we are not going to honor Christ. We're not going to accomplish supernatural gospel advancement. We're not going to experience transformation. And then I believe once that conviction happens, Vance, God downloads a capacity. And I know you guys have seen it, a kind of a fresh capacity to really enjoy leading this kind of prayer. And I think that leads to a spiritual contagion in the life of the church, starting in the heart of a pastor who understands what the Bible really teaches about pastoral priorities and a commitment to live accordingly.
I would say, Daniel, my own experience, that what you just outlined with those C words was really the story of my own journey.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until that 2015 moment when God just did some work in my heart in the spring of 2015 to bring me to a place of conviction that, man, we have to be about this thing of prayer, and the absence of prayer in the local church just became such a growing burden that we began to do just that. It began to increase our capacity to implement this in our own fellowship. And then through relationship with a guy like you and the tools that you helped me bring to the table, it just created this contagious culture in our church. It just began to infect people. And we began to see God do the supernatural and see God do what only God could do. And what's unfortunate is when you begin to see that, you begin to talk about it like it's not normal. It's this supernatural thing. But I think it was Vance Havner that I was named after who said that normal Christianity has become so subnormal that normal Christianity appears abnormal.
Yeah.
And that's where we're living today, that just watching people pray and seeing the Spirit of God move in power, we're like, wow, what is this? Until we read the Bible and go, oh, that's New Testament Christianity. That's just what it looks like.
Exactly.
So that's so much our story, and I'm so grateful. And just before I forget to mention it, Noah, I know in the show notes we'll put a link, but we want to make sure we put a link to 6-4 Fellowship, because if you're listening to this and some of the things Daniel's saying are speaking to you or striking an interest, 6-4 Fellowship has a website that it is free to go join, to become a part of the fellowship, and there are unlimited amounts of resources to help you begin to implement these strategies in your own local church.
Yeah, amen.
Man, so good. You've mentioned 6-4 Fellowship a couple times. It'd be really helpful for everybody to understand the Acts 6 math. And so, Daniel, if you could explain to everybody the math of Acts chapter 6.
Oh, thank you, Noah. That's a softball, man. I can swing at that one. So, you know, everything we do is now rooted in this wonderful story of Acts 6. And it was so relevant to our culture because in that day, they were facing hostility. You know, there was some division brewing over the breakdown of the weeding program. You know, there was distraction, all the things that hit us right now, right? And yet they were resolved to follow God's path. And the first part was to raise up what I call 6-3 disciples, these men who took this over and solved the problem. They were men of good reputation, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom in the context of a praying church. It's the first time the word disciple is mentioned in the book of Acts. And so we really say these aren't just deacons. This is what disciples were supposed to look like at this point. So we want to build 6-3 disciples in our church so that we will be free to become 6-4 leaders, obviously, prayer and the ministry of the word. And then my favorite, you know, awakening verse in the book of Acts, verse 7, the word of God continues to spread. Wow. The number of disciples are adding or multiplying like they did previously. Now they're multiplying greatly. And then it says a great many priests become obedient to the faith. So the ones you never thought would get saved are being saved in droves. So here's my math. 6.3 plus 6.4 equals 6.7. Kind of funny math. It's not, you know, a formula. It's just a pattern that is so clear. Build 6.3 disciples, become 6.4 leaders, and believe God for a 6.7 awakening. To me, that's the hope that beats so palpably in my own heart.
Mm-hmm. And Daniel, you've talked about these five convictions that we've got to have. You've mentioned the first one already in passing, the conviction of personal pastoral leadership.
Yeah.
For the sake of time, I want people to go check out more of that on your website, but jump into number two, and pure biblical motivation. Give us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. You know, I'm a motivational mess. I think we all are at certain times, the things that motivate us. And you know, when it came to prayer over the years, I prayed out of guilt. I prayed in order to be approved as a good pastor, kind of like the Pharisees. I even prayed out of church growth, thinking, man, if I pray, God will bless my church. But Peter Lord, Vance, you would know him, an old, you know, wise Southern Baptist pastor, said, you know, if God promised you two things, you go to heaven when you die, but he'll never use you in the ministry, would you still pray? And that was convicting to me. I was using prayer so that God would bless me for me. And certainly a healthy praying church will experience the blessing of God. So then I thought it was revival. You know, of course, I learned there's a difference between seeking revival from God and seeking God for revival. And so over the course of leading my men in prayer every Monday morning, God really spoke to me, and he kind of gave me this download that the only enduring motivation for prayer is that God is worthy to be sought. And that never changes. Whatever mood I'm in, however many people show up, you know, pastors get discouraged because the crowds aren't big, or, you know, people are hijacking the prayer meeting. But God is still worthy to be sought. And someday in heaven, as you guys know, the only prayers we'll be praying is worthy is the lamb that was slain. And that's really the beginning place, you know, of the model prayer, our Father art in heaven. It has to be a worship-based motivation in all of our praying to keep us in the fight.
Yeah, Vance, that's a big conviction of yours. I hear you talk about a lot is the New Testament pattern of prayer. What's really amazing is how God sovereignly worked this in my life. 2022, January, God gave us the vision, the church, we've got to dive deep into prayer. 3 months later, Vance Pittman comes to leadership at Send Network, and everything we do gets bathed in prayer. And then 2023, I get introduced to Daniel Henderson. It just going deeper and deeper. And what I've seen from both of you guys is this New Testament pattern of prayer. Vance, how have you seen that as a practitioner there, as a pastor, week after week? How did you see that New Testament pattern continue to move you guys forward week after week?
Yeah, well, you just, as you read the book of Acts, 26 times in 28 chapters of the book of Acts, the word prayer or praying is mentioned. So it's not like something they did occasionally. Often in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, it says they devoted themselves, and it's in a present active tense, meaning it was the regular rhythm of their lives. Prayer wasn't something they did on occasion. Prayer was just how they lived. They lived in dependence on God, and you often saw it in the New Testament that they did it together. Yeah. We in the Western individualistic world that we live in, it's all about your prayer closet and praying by yourself. And listen, I think that's totally fine. We should pray alone. But the New Testament model is about praying together. And I believe, and I would love to hear, Daniel, your thoughts on this. I believe there's something that happens when we pray together that transcends our praying privately and individually. There's something powerful that happens when the church prays together. But Daniel, talk about that conviction of the New Testament pattern of prayer.
Yeah, well, what we just talked about go together so well. First of all, as Al Mohler has said, there's no I in the Lord's Prayer, right? And the reality is you see the New Testament unfold. They're praying together, as you said, Vance. But the pattern is really clear, you know, both in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. It's not just the words we quote. It's the way we experience prayer. And Jesus made it very clear in the present imperative. You must learn to pray like this. In the simplest form, honestly, it's that you seek God's face before you seek his hand, right? Mm-hmm. I always say, if all you ever do is seek his hand, you may miss his face. And I know a lot of Christians, boy, they're into prayer, but they're not experiencing transformation. But if you seek his face, he'll be glad to open his hand. And as I walk through that pattern, you know, there's a reverence, our Father art in heaven. Then there's a response, your kingdom come, your will be done, surrender, yield in this confession. And then we move to our requests, our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I always like to say, you got to get battle ready. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so, you know, I wear these bifocals. People can't see that, but it's almost like that 4-4 pattern is on my bifocals. And every time I look at a text, it's just instinctive. How can I reverence the Lord first? How can I respond to him? How can I bring my request based on his word? And how can I get ready for battle from the word of God? And it's a game changer. It's changed my life, to change the life of those I've pastored. And I'm just glad Jesus made it so clear.
Really good. Vance, one of your convictions is to challenge the pushback on praying corporately as a church. You know, a lot of guys in church planting, they say, hey, Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, we don't speak in tongues because, hey, one word of prophecy is better than 1,000 in tongues. And prayer kind of feels like tongues to the lost person. So we're not going to pray. What do you say to that, Vance?
Well, what I say to that is we started this in 2015. We started carving out 8 to 10 minutes in every weekend gathering to pray corporately, leading the whole church to pray. Not necessarily every time out loud, although we do pray out loud and we have people speak things out loud in prayer. Here's what I've discovered, because people said, you can't do that, you know, because Hope Church in Las Vegas has about 4,000 people, you know, lost people come to your services. It's going to make them feel uncomfortable. But here's what I would say. I've made a profound discovery. When lost people attend a Christian church service, they actually expect us to talk to God. Not only that, they actually came to the church service hoping that we would show them how they could talk to God. And when we relegate prayer to simply the professionals that are eloquent on the stage, talking out loud over everybody, prayer becomes something that's unattainable for the average person.
Yeah.
When you do what Daniel teaches and you take a text of scripture and you let the text of scripture become the centerpiece of a conversation you're having with the Father, now anybody can do that.
Right.
The 10-year-old child can take the Bible and use it as the centerpiece using that pattern Daniel talked about of a conversation with the Father. And you're teaching people how to talk to God. And let me just tell you, when people begin to talk to God, God begins to show up and move in power.
Amen. Amen. One of my friends, a famous theologian, once said, his name was Vance Pittman, that in most churches, we've relegated prayer to moments of transition to get people, you know, musicians on and off the platform. Such a good word, Vance. And his house should be a house, not a preaching or programs. Those are fine, but a prayer. And we need to be serious about that. Yeah.
That's really good. Daniel, just somebody wants to do this, and this episode's called, you know, building, how do you build a culture of prayer in your church? Someone wants to do this. Just a few handlebars for them before we finish today. What would you tell someone saying, I want to build it right now? What do I do?
Well, I would just say quickly, you can't do it right now. It's a crock pot, not a microwave. But the best place to start, as we said, is in your own heart. And then in our coaching, we talk about the fact that it always emanates from the epicenter of leadership. You know, to start creating more prayer activity without building that culture from the inside of your leadership, where your staff and your elders not only have that same conviction, but also that capacity, so that you can begin to build sidewalks where the footpaths already exist, where people are already meeting. You have the ability to begin to change the way people are praying all throughout the church. And then when you call an all-church prayer meeting, they're hungry to pray at that point, right? People don't stay away from prayer meeting because of your approach, although sometimes our approach stinks. They really stay away because they don't have an appetite. And so you've got to begin to grow the appetite from your leadership core and then into other areas of your church. And I would just say, obviously, a little self-serving, but we have a praying leader coaching cohort that'll really help you connect with other pastors to really get the handles you need to see this flourish in the long haul.
All right, let me plug that, and then I want to ask you to elaborate on something. I'm going to get you to elaborate on the sidewalk thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But first of all, let me just say, Daniel does do a 90-day, 7-video session Zoom coaching on creating a culture of prayer in the local church. And let me just tell you, it is game-changing. If you really want to begin to implement this, I encourage you to go to the 6-4 Fellowship, find that link, sign up, become a part of the Coaching Network, if you can get in it. I'm encouraging so many people into it that most of them are full right now. Yeah. But if you can get in, I encourage you to try, because I'm telling you, it's game changing. If you can't get in right immediately, go ahead and get his book, Old Paths, New Power, that was written by Daniel. The first several chapters of that just are such a huge help in beginning to implement this and understand it. But Daniel, I want you to elaborate for just in the closing couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You blew by a statement that you say so often that you kind of take it for granted, but it was so transformational for me in the application of this. And that is, build sidewalks where footpaths already exist.
Yeah.
So unpack that.
Yeah. So the footpaths are the context in which people are already meeting anyway, right? And most of our churches are busy. The idea of, oh, we're going to have a weekly prayer meeting. People will sigh in exhaustion just at the announcement, let alone having to figure out how to do it. And so the idea, in fact, it hit me years ago, if I don't train other people to lead life-giving prayer experiences, this will never grow beyond my ability to show up. So I've got to be intentional with our staff and our elders, small group leaders, anyone who leads a ministry team, in fact, anybody who's interested, to begin to have this capacity we talked about to open the Bible and lead a scripture-fed, spirit-led, worship-based prayer time in the environments where they're already meeting. So, again, that's so key. We think it's going to be the big service, right? Or it's going to be the big weekly prayer meeting. But if we can begin to train people to pray differently, pray biblically, pray in life-giving ways in a variety of environments, marriage, home, small groups, big church, it'll change everything. And that's how the culture goes deep within the congregation.
Yeah, an example of that is Noah in our church in Vegas. So a sidewalk was the weekend gathering. Mm-hmm. We already had 4,000 people coming every mm-hmm. Sunday. Mm-hmm. Rather than try to on Tuesday start an event to drum up excitement to get 25 people to come, we took 10 minutes when we already had 4,000 people coming and just made a mini prayer meeting right in the middle of our service.
Yeah.
Then when we did have a prayer gathering, we said, don't feel like it's a weird deal. It's just like what we do on Sunday morning. You already are there. We're just going to do it instead of 10 minutes. We're going to do it for 45 minutes or for an hour, but it's the exact same thing. And people understood it and were more willing to get involved. So I think that's a key in the implementation of this strategy.
Oh, amen.
And I think what you said is so important, Vance, because I've heard Daniel say this, is that people don't come to a prayer meeting in your church because they've been to a prayer meeting in your church.
Right.
They have a bad experience with prayer meetings. They don't want to go to another one. But if you begin to show them, you build a culture of prayer on Sundays. And like in our church, we have about 100% of our Sunday attendance in small groups throughout the week.
Yeah.
We do 8 to 10 minutes of prayer in all of our small groups as well. People are learning to do this. The level of feeling that this is intimidating is down. And now when I begin to ask people in our congregation on Sundays to pray out loud, you hear them raising their voices.
Yeah.
And it's all of a sudden it switches. People want to come to a prayer meeting because they've been to one every Sunday.
Amen.
Daniel, I know your heart. Your heart is the kingdom, and it is to see churches transform through prayer and knowing the Lord. And I believe that this episode is going to do just that. As people listen and they have questions, hey, one time, just give them the website real quick and let them know where they can find more information.
Yeah. So for those in church leadership, 4, the word fellowship.com. It's a free, resource. You just got to create a login. There's leaders from over 45 countries now who are enjoying these resources. And we just want to help you be all that God wants you to be in your context for the glory of God and for the sake of the gospel.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.